It's experiences like the last 2 weeks that make it easier to communicate the essence of Paul's Philippian letter. Verse 4, always in every prayer, first chapter, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your joint participation, fellowship in the King James. Joint participation in the gospel from the very first day until literally the now. I do have this assurance and can say with Paul being confident of this very thing, some of you have a better understanding of joint participation with me in the gospel tonight than you did a few weeks ago. You have jointly participated in turning a crisis into a victory. You are jointly participating in the realization and the concern, still the determination, not to let it stop us, of being under attack by some insane person, demon-possessed, who shot the windows out here, tried to throw a brick through Westcott headquarters, and shot a window out in the cathedral. And you are jointly participating in the agony of piercing the blockade of abandoned first love, lethargic stickiness, dumb fixation. And you're jointly participating with me in a determined effort that if we have to do it ourselves, we're going to move on. You know how many Christians are solely motivated in their Christian walk? Like those who thought the universe revolved around the earth by what God does for them? You know how many ministries wouldn't exist 60 days if they didn't caricature the gospel and offer candies instead of the cross? They don't have joint participation, they have orgies. They have shark feeding frenzies. Did you ever see that movie they showed once on the educational channels around the world of bunch of monkeys that got drunk on fermented fruit? They're eating away and getting drunker. How many of you have seen that? Reminds me of some churches. I mean, I've done teaching on the leaf cutting ants of Brazil church and the Arctic walruses church. I need to do the drunken monkey church. You have genuinely, some of you, What a tragedy. Others have missed it. Mr. Parker came here to share with us in the crisis. Immediately after his boy went through surgery, God took care of his boy and is taking care of his boy, Michael. And you're going to keep praying. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, completed until the day of Jesus Christ. What a surety. Boy, I'd feel good if Paul said that of me. I ain't Paul, but I'm saying that of some of you. The tragedy is I can't say it yet of 3,000 of you. Some of you know you've been there every crisis. And just about every crisis you thought you couldn't do it. And you did. And you feel better for it. That's not the criteria for faith. But it's one of the side benefits when you do it right. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. I sit here prominent to those who look, that God sees every participant. I saw him too. What a tragedy. Such a small percentage of 50-some thousand king's houses have been in this fight. But how wonderful that there were enough to get it done through yet one more crisis. Well, Sheriff says that things will get worse. But we've whipped the devil thus far this week. Friday night. I'm not always live on Friday night. I couldn't resist it. I'm going to come here and say to the devil, thank you very much. And to your to the devil, your mother, whoever she is, fucks you too. The devil understands me. He understands. He's just dealing with other Christians that say, I'm going to pray for you, Satan. For God is my record how greatly I long after you in the heart. Too bad old English is still here, because it robs almost offensively this statement by Paul of its amazing, incredible meaning. I, Paul, long after you, the Philippians, you all, in the heart, in the innermost being, that's the real translation, in the innermost being of Jesus Christ. He has no hesitation, as I taught earlier, And I intend to recross these verses, moving toward the final three, many times. He has no hesitation to identify his attachment to them as he identified their attachment to him in that verse 3, where he says, literally in the Greek, Eucharisto, giving a Eucharist to God for their remembrance of him. He doesn't hesitate to identify their action as God acting through them. And he doesn't hesitate here to say his longing after them in the innermost part of Jesus Christ, the very heart of Jesus Christ, poetically speaking, is beating through him in his attachment to them. You're not going to get that kind of relationship telling people to get involved in seed faith so they can give 1,000 and get 100. You're not going to have that kind of attachment where your attachment is God working through you and my attachment is God working, his heart beating through me, as Paul and the Philippians were communicating here. You're going to get that with this kind of, if this sacrifice, that fountain comes to you, fountain of blessing. You're not going to get this kind of attachment by that calculated investment in the Spirit. You're not going to get that kind of attachment if every motivation is what God's going to do for you. They were doing for Paul, and Paul gave thanks to God, a Eucharist, that was God in them doing. He's longing after them. Desires, as he'll say later, to be with Christ. Doesn't matter to him whether he lives or dies. He's in a strait betwixt the two. A desire to be with Christ. A recognition they need him. And because God's heart beats through him, he'll forego the desire to be with Christ, to have God work through him to meet their needs, as God worked through them to meet his needs. You will never, ever move into that dimension of spiritual life, which means the Spirit of God will never find fruition in you when self is center stage. Self is denied. For the saint who gives himself utterly for the use of God. But as the calling of God finds placement in you, there isn't a one of you that have participated in this victory that's not richer because of it. Participated in this fight that's not richer because of it. And would rather have this joint participation realization than to have what you gave in time, effort, agony, and money to jointly participate. This only has meaning to those who did. Those still on the outside looking in is just theory to them. you ought to be giving, as Paul did, a Eucharist, as I am, to God for what you are being allowed to be a part of. And you ought to make an unchanging commitment to never cease being a part of it. Now get on the telephone. Costa Mesa. Thank you, Pastor, for the communion messages. I felt the flu coming on earlier this week, and then I took communion, and I was healed instantly. And Torrance, sir, what you're saying is coming through with real meaning. I understand. I've joined in other battles before when there was a crisis, but I've reached a turning point in this battle. In my work, family, graduate degree I'm pursuing, my studies, I love them all, but I've come to realize I love God more. Nothing is as important now as helping you take this ministry around the world. When I realized we were going to have to cut back in reaching the world, nothing else was important except to prevent this. That's joint participation. 12th verse, first chapter, Philippians. But I would ye should understand. I wish you now to know, literally is what he said, and the word is gnoskine. Knowing that comes through experience. Some people never experience what he's going to talk about. Literally, I wish you now to know, brothers. Too cold, Greg. I wish you now to know, brothers. That the things, my affairs, have fallen out. What the King James says. To the furtherance, literally to the prokopane, the advance. And I said to the other night, the word comes from Greek warfare, where an army of woodcutters would go in front of the regular army and cut a path through a formerly impassable forest, making the advance possible into new areas. His affairs, being in prison in Rome, fall out to cutting a path into new areas for the gospel. I was commenting to someone last night as we went home. You know, it's kind of amazing as we didn't plan it this way, but we write in front of the world, are working through this crisis. And I get a call from somebody in Liberia where 15 or 20 people are sitting around a shortwave radio listening every night. This is real life drama. This is not some game or some testimony service where somebody tells you, usually sort of penumbriated with add-ons, of what happened to them. You're part of the happening. You're seeing it happen as our crisis is having fallout. Satan thought he had us down, and he will think it again, and he'll try it again. He lost. This one. Verse 28. And in nothing. That beautiful ability of the Greek to double emphasize. Literally, and not being terrified in nothing. And not being terrified in nothing. And the English has a prohibition against double negatives because they cancel each other out in our grammatical form. But in the Greek, they double it up. And not being terrified in nothing. I like that better. I mean, that really puts what the enemies are doing in perspective alongside God. Nothing. Oh, it has capacity to terrify if you're in the flesh. Not being terrified in nothing by the ones opposing. Anti-kaimenon. Which is to them a proof of destruction. Any and every person who contributed to this crisis in this ministry and to any crisis you face in your participation in this ministry, that opposing act is proof of destruction. Hallelujah. The guy who shoots through windows. Proof of destruction. Crank callers. Proof of destruction. Tightwads, proof of destruction. Demon-led irritants, pissants for Satan, proof of destruction. Relatives who interfere, proof of destruction. But of you, a proof of salvation. Ain't it wonderful to be a target? Proof of salvation, I'm literally translating, and this from God. You have realized what joint participation is. I want you to also see that is a proof of salvation, soterion. You're being saved. And this from God. Because to you it was given. Didn't really look on it as a gift, but as you get through it and unwrap the package, literally translating, because to you it was given on behalf of Christ, not only in him to believe, but also on behalf of him to suffer. There is nothing we can ever do to save ourselves. He did all the suffering. But this suffering that we go through from those who prove their destruction is proof to us of our salvation, and to make sure we know it's not the suffering that saves us, and this from God. But we have the honor, the gift, for a few days here, on behalf of Christ, not only in Him to believe, literally pistuin, to faith, but also on behalf of Him to suffer. We've had a good Christmas present, a gift, because to you it was given. On behalf of Christ, not only in Him to believe or faith, but also on behalf of Him to suffer. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now, here, not to be, scratch that out, that's by the translators, and now here in me. They've become one in joint participation, suffering on behalf of Christ, receiving the gift of His salvation. That's a bond that can never be pulled apart. Treasure it. Get on the telephone and tell me you'll be in the cathedral witnessing it on Sunday.